Thank you, Bharat. Welcome, everybody. I feel sorry for the guys at the speaker on the left there. By the end of the service, one of her ears won't be working. So if you were looking for a title, if you're taking notes, the title of what I want to talk about this morning is Why Does Sin Separate Us from God? Now, most of us have been born again, and if it's quite new to you, it's probably quite a weird experience, and if you've never heard of it before, it's going to be a weird experience, okay? But it sounds quite weird to be born again, and we've been through this process, and like what happens is you give your life to Jesus, and everyone says, oh, that's amazing, you've been born again. That sounds a little bit weird, doesn't it? But what you do know is you feel like you've done something good, right? Like inside, like something's changed. Something feels good. For the first time in your life, you almost feel like a connection to God. So, you know, 0.2 equals 0.1, this must be a good thing. I've done something right. Also, you know, for the first time, everything just feels right. Everything, like, is connected. There's something that's right here. I can't explain it. And if someone asks you, like, well, what happened? I said, I can't explain it, but it just feels right. And you almost can't understand why it feels so good, right? Does anyone relate to that? Because that's how I felt. I was like, this is amazing. But I don't know what's happened. And when someone asked me, you've got to try it. I just got to take it to church and you can figure out and you can do it yourself. But I don't know why. So I'm glad you asked that question because I'd like to show you why it feels right. It's a very good question, guys. You guys are on it. So fundamentally, we need to know. Oh, and also you feel this connection to this whole family that's here. Like, wow, you know. And sometimes that's like also what you were just looking for. Like, you know, out in the world, no one really cares about anyone or you. And suddenly there's a whole room of people that love you and care for you. That's also strange, okay? You don't get that out in the world. So why is this so cool, you know? But let's go back to the basics here. Let's understand, like, fundamentally, we need to know two things. The first thing is God created us, okay? If you don't believe that, we've got to go back to the born again step, okay? And when he created us with three parts, body, soul, and spirit, okay? So our physical body, that's what you see around us. Our soul is our mind, it's our will, it's our emotions, it's our inner self, it's our personality. And the spirit part is the part that connects you to God, because God is a spirit. Now, Jesus became a man when he came to the planet. He's a spirit. Jesus is a spirit. God is a spirit. It's getting weirder, okay? And in Genesis, God said he's used like mud and he formed us, like, and he formed a man and he breathed life into this formless thing and we became a living body with these three parts. Okay, remember that. Park that. The second thing is, when we sin, we are separated from God, okay? So God, and you might ask, well, why does sin separate us from God? I mean, if God is who he is, he's amazing, he loves us, he created us, he created this thing, he said it was good, it was the best thing he'd ever done, he made this whole earth, the firmament, and he made this for us, and he said, there's something missing, I need man, okay? So why would sin now separate us from him? And that's random, right? And then, of course, what is the impact of that separation on me? Okay, so sin separates us from God, and what is the impact on me that I'm now separated from God? Okay, let's go through that. So the first thing to understand, we have to understand God's nature. Okay, and we sang about it this morning. I'm so glad. Good song. God is holy. Okay, now what does holy mean? It means he's perfectly pure, he's perfectly good, and he's perfectly just. Okay, perfectly pure, perfectly good, perfectly just. Okay, what does perfectly pure mean? Okay, in Isaiah, I'm going to read a lot of scriptures. I'm not going to read a lot of scriptures, if that makes sense. But otherwise, we'll never get through it if I go through all the scriptures and look up slow. In Isaiah 6:3, it says, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. That's what the angels sing and the elders in heaven are constantly saying. You are holy. you are holy. You're the Lord of hosts, okay? In 1 John 1 verse 5, it says he's pure, okay? So what does this holiness mean? It means that nothing evil or impure can coexist with him, okay? So, because that would contradict his nature. Okay, because he's so pure and holy, nothing evil can be with him. And, you know, we know the story of Moses. So Moses, when he's up on Mount Sinai, he says, Lord, show me your glory. You know, I'm up here on the mountain with you. And God says, whoa, whoa, you don't understand. You're not pure. You're not holy. You will die. You will die if you see me. You cannot coexist in my presence, okay? And he says what he does, he says, you know, you can go into this cleft in the mountain and you can only see the back. You can only see the back, because if you see the front, you're going to die. Okay, so that is how pure and holy God is. And we know that even, I'm really jumping ahead of my notes. So we know that our physical bodies, this physical body will not be able to be in God's presence, okay? But our spirit can, okay? So I'm coming to that now. And we also know that even in heaven, this can't exist. And you know the story of Lucifer? So Lucifer in heaven, if you read in Isaiah 14, verse 12, it says, and Isaiah is talking here about Lucifer that's in heaven. And Lucifer said in his heart, he said, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit on the mount of the congregation, and on the further sides of the north, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds, and I will be like the Most High. So Lucifer sins in his heart, and he says, I am better than God. People should worship me rather. What has happened? That doesn't end well for him. So he's cast out of heaven. Because not even an archangel who's one of them can be in God's presence, who is so holy. So I think we can understand that when we sin, we cannot coexist with God. We cannot be with God, okay? And when you're not born again, you are a sinner, and you haven't dealt with that sin and hasn't been provided for you. And even when you're a Christian and you've got sin in your life, when you sin, you are separating yourself from God. And very often when you say, like, I just can't experience God anymore, I think the first thing you need to do is say, what am I doing, Lord, that's actually separating me from you? And it's quite an important distinction to make here. We separate ourselves from God because of sin. God doesn't go, well, I can't be around you guys. You guys are sinful. Because he's good. He's good and he loves us and he wants to be with us, but he can't. Because you have separated yourself from him. Okay? So let's understand the nature of sin. This is going to be a really, really quick message. So what is the nature of sin? So sin literally means miss the mark. You have missed the mark, okay? And it says in Romans 3, verse 23, for all have sinned, and we fall short of God's glory. So we have separated ourselves. We have fallen short. We can't be in his presence because we have sinned, okay? And then in Romans, it's not in Romans 3, verse 23, but it also says, if you love me, you'll also keep my commandments. So sin has two aspects to it. There's almost like a law that says we cannot be in God's presence because we have sin in our lives. The second part is relationship. We have chosen to not love him by sinning. He says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. You know, think about a husband and a wife. If you love your husband, you love your wife, you will honor her. You will be faithful to her. It's that relationship that you've decided to walk away from what I've provided for and what I've done for you. So it's not God, it's us. Okay. And if we read in Isaiah 59, verse 2, it says, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that he cannot save. So he's saying, like, it's not that I can't save you. He says, your iniquities, he might have a different version up there, but your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God. Your sins have hidden his face from you. So you've turned away and his face is hidden. It's gone. Because you've decided to do that. Okay? So what is God's solution? okay? It's because God is a just God, okay? Pure, good, just. Because he's a just God, that sin has to be paid for. And it says in the Bible, the wages of sin is death, okay? And I want to put another spin on that, because that sounds like, well, you're going to die because you sin. We are dead because we sin already. So it's not like we're going to die. We are dead inside because we've sinned already, okay? There's a part of us that is dead. There's a connection between God that is dead because we are a sinner, okay? And this eternal separation that we have from God starts now on earth and extends into the afterlife. So if you remain separated from God, you can wander the earth for the life that you have here, 70, 80, 90 years. But beyond that, there's no second chance to now say, well, how do I solve that problem, right? And so we have a chance while we're here to change that separation that we have, right? So it gets worse, because after life as we know it on this earth, we don't get to spend time like this together, kumbaya. The Bible says there's two places after this life, two places. There's only two. One is heaven, the other one is hell. And the consequences of not reconnecting with God and changing that separation problem that we have is you spend that eternity now with Satan, the devil, okay? Because there is no other place. There's no in between. Well, I didn't really make up my mind, so I'll kind of hang here in no man's land for eternity, okay? The Bible says two places. Either you come with me and you solve the separation problem, or you spend eternity in hell. That's a different preach, but I don't think it's a great place to spend eternity, okay? So the good news is, because he said he's not, I'm going to get this wrong. So good news is the gospel, as we know it today, is God didn't want to leave us separated, okay? So he says, well, what is the solution to this problem, right? There's a big challenge here. There's a separation from me, so he's going to provide for that. And remember he said that something needs to die. Yeah, something, you know, it can't, it's dead. We've got to make this thing alive again, okay? So through Jesus' death and resurrection, which we read in the New Testament, God becomes man. Jesus lives his life on the earth, blameless, sinless, dies for us, a pure sacrifice, that sin is paid for, and now we have a plan. We have a solution, right? And he took the consequences of sin himself, okay? So, and that's in Romans 5, verse 8. It says, he shows his love for us while we were even sinners. So why are we even sinners? God says, I've got to make a plan for these guys, right? And he says, and then basically, because Jesus has died for us, this faith in Jesus restores this broken relationship that we have, right? And remember, we are now separated from God. We need to rejoin this relationship, okay? Suddenly the dots are going to join very quickly now, okay? But there's something quite important about this broken relationship that we're about to fix, is there's no amount of goodness or helping the poor, or being friendly with everybody, or, you know, paying the car guard $10 instead of $5. There's no amount of goodness that you can do to fix this sin problem, right? You cannot fix this problem. There's no ways that you can fix this problem yourself. The only way you can fix this is to believe in Jesus and have faith in Jesus and believe that he died for you to receive him. So it gets a bit weird again. To receive him into your heart, okay? What does that receiving into your heart mean, okay? So, sin separates us, okay? Because of God's holy nature. But Jesus bridges that gap so we can be fully reconciled with him again, okay? So think of us using Jesus as a bridge to get back into God's presence, okay? We have changed that separation agreement that we had through Jesus, okay? And there's lots of scriptures we said, like his blood covers all sins. We are washed as white as snow. And the Bible says we become righteous again because God looks at us through and he says, I can see my son in them. And we've now connected it and we've changed something, okay? Still weird. Okay. So Jesus is the key, okay? So if we do a quick summary halfway through, Romans 3 verse 23, we've all sinned. Romans 5 verse 8, God showed us his love through Christ Jesus. 6 verse 23, wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal. Romans 10 verse 9 says, if you confess and believe in Jesus, you will be saved. 4 scriptures to remember when you're speaking to someone that's unsaved, okay? So let's take a step back. Let's unpack the death part of 6:23, okay? So we are dead. There's a part of us that's dead before we get born again. Body, soul, spirit. The spirit part of us is dead. We're not connecting with God. It's dead. So what happens when you get born again? First of all, that dead part, so you got three parts, body, soul, and spirit. That dead part, you'll wander the earth looking for this fulfillment to fix the dead part. And you will try everything, and people have tried everything. And the only part that fixes that dead part, because it's a, you know, remember those toys that you got, and you got like a little triangle, and you put the triangle through the triangle square, and you put the square through the square part, and the circle through the circle part. That little, it's a cross shape. Let's make it a cross shape. It's a cross shape. You can try and put anything in there. It won't fit. The only thing that can fill that is Jesus. And you will not be complete until you put that part in, because God created you, body, soul, spirit. So until your spirit is alive again, you're going to be like, I just can't find what, you know, I'm wondering, I can't. And of course, the moment you put the right block through the right hole, everything just feels right. So you suddenly have made the third part of your creation alive. Okay, the third part. So what happens when you're born again? So Jesus is speaking to Nicodemus. Nicodemus was a Pharisee, super educated in the word. And Jesus says to him, like he says, what must I do to get eternal life? Jesus says to him, you've got to be born again. Nicodemus, how do I get back into my mother's womb and come out again? How can I be born again physically? It's like I'm twice the size of my mother. It's not going to work. Okay? So he's comprehending, like, what is Jesus saying here? Okay, and Jesus says, no, hold on. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. In other words, you're born. You're here, your body's here, your spirit's here. I'm sorry, your soul is here, your spirit is here. It's a little bit empty. We'll deal with that now. And he says, that which is born of the spirit is spirit. And he's referring here that you have to, your spirit must be reborn. So you don't get reborn physically in front of us. Your spirit gets reborn. And that's the, everything just feels right. I don't understand. For the first time in my life, I heard God. I could feel God. Okay, so now here's the theory behind like why we actually feel so lekker about it. Okay. The terrible thing about preaching is you never stick to the notes. Okay. Right. So here's what happens step by step. Okay, so that spirit part of you that's coming alive now, here's the three-part system to become more alive and to pick this thing up and run with it, right? Because I think we get it and we hear it, and like this is like day one. When you get born again, day one. What does every other day look like? Because, you know, the next day, does it feel like the Sunday? 3 months from like it, does it feel like that first Sunday? No. 20 years, does it still feel like that first Sunday? No. Because now you're maturing, but you've got to, this is how you've got to think and live every day, because you've made your spirit alive again, okay? So step one, you receive Christ by faith. The Holy Spirit comes to dwell in your spirit. And by the way, when you were sitting there in Barnes going, you know, is there anyone here? that feels like they want to give their hearts to Jesus. And something says, yes, that's you, Steph. And you're like, this can't be. Why do I feel so convicted? Why do I feel like I need to put my hand up? Don't put your hand up. There goes my hand. You know what I mean? That's the Holy Spirit talking to you. That's the Holy Spirit communicating with you and saying, you need to do this. Because that spirit part of you that is not connected with God needs to start firing. I always think of it like an electrical, like welding. It starts to fire like a little synapse or something like that, okay? It says in Romans 8, verse 16, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. So the Spirit bears witness with our spirit and says, like, hey, you know, like the phone's ringing, but it's not being answered yet. Someone's got to pick up the phone, you know? So what happens? Now we say yes. And everything changed. Wow, I feel so amazing. I feel like I'm connecting to God for the first time. But here's what actually happens. Inside, think of it in your brain. Start thinking about all these little electrical currents that start firing. I'm a visual person. This is a complete regeneration. So it was dead. You didn't hear God before this. You walked in here and you suddenly hear God. It's alive. Okay? There's a complete regeneration. Your spirit is recreated new. Okay? Righteous. In other words, we are, in God's eyes, sinless. He does not see sin anymore. We are no longer separated. We can come into his presence. That is amazing. Okay? We are joined with God's Spirit. You don't just get forgiven here. You become a brand new creation. Brand new creation. You are now, and righteousness means right standing with God. Okay? So we are now like day one, Adam and Eve. He created Adam and Eve, no sin. Day one. Okay? You've got about 30 seconds before you blow it. Because the Bible says, like, we're not perfect, we're going to sin, we're going to keep doing this, right? Well, does that mean like we're unsaved now? As soon as you leave the building and you make your first error? No. Okay? Because this is the start of the journey, okay? So we've made this thing alive, okay? In 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17, if you want to know where that is in the Bible, it says this. If anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has gone and the new has come. So when you get born again, let's read that again. If anyone is in Christ, he is a brand new creation. The old person, which was only body and soul, is gone. The new person, righteous, right standing with God, in God's presence, is brand new. Brand new. And the spirit part of your three-part person is connected to God instantly. Instantly, you're connected to God. Are you going to hear him perfectly the first time because it's brand new? No. Are you going to sin because of the, you know, the next day something happens? Absolutely. Is this connection forever? Yes. How do you keep that connection forever? Let's have a look. So now your soul begins renewal. Because you can understand that without being in God's presence, your soul, which is your personality, your will, your emotions, has had a real great time on the wrong side of the world, right? So there are parts of you that are not, very much not like Jesus, or very much not like God, okay? And inside of you, there's a real fight now, because you've got a perfect part. Your spirit is connected to God. You are righteous to God, but you've still got this part of you that is terrible, terrible. You know, you got anger, lust, you know, addictions, because you've been wandering the world looking for stuff, probably looking to fill that spirit thing, because there's like something in you that's longing for something, and you've gone after the wrong things. But that doesn't mean that almost changes immediately. Your personality, how you behave, how you act around others, how you, you know, your friendships, your marriages, all of that stuff is still like you've done some damage, you know what I mean? Okay? So now this regeneration, because there's a part of you that's perfect inside of you, this regeneration starts. And we have to now allow the perfect part of us to influence the imperfect part of us to get to be a better person. You know, I always look at my wife and I say, she makes me want to be a better man, you know. We actually say to our boys, you marry someone that makes you a better person. Because we know you, you know what I mean? So, and I know me, and I need someone to make me a better. You know, like there's that saying, you know, show me your friends and I'll show you your future. Surround yourself with people that are going to make you want to be a better person. So you've in effect done this yourself. You've given your life to Jesus. Jesus is inside you. The Holy Spirit's inside of you. And they make you want to be a better person. And all you've got to do is listen. And all you've got to do is change. Not so easy. So these mind, will, and emotions won't change instantly. You're still going to carry the old habits and the thought patterns and the emotions. But the new spirit inside you starts transforming you through the Word. So we start reading the Bible. And through His Holy Spirit. So sometimes you come to church and the Holy Spirit says, listen, there's people here that have unforgiveness. That is a transformation opportunity. If you have unforgiveness for somebody, come to the front. I need to transform. I need to keep being reborn. Who's heard of, we are in the process of being saved? Some people take that the wrong way and say, well, you know, like, you know, you're like almost unsaved the moment you sin. And you just got to keep like coming to the front and giving your life to Jesus every Sunday. Some of us have done that, and there's no judgment, because sometimes you think it's been really bad this week. I probably need to get born again. But the process of being saved is allowing the Word, because the Word's going to also speak to you. The Word is God's Word. The Holy Spirit is God speaking. You need to take that sin that separates you from God and just keep transforming. Keep transforming. Like Dory, just keep swimming. Just keep swimming. Just keep swimming. Okay? If you remember anything, to remember that. And this lifelong process of regenerating your soul using the Spirit and using the Word is called sanctification. The journey of being aligned, or bringing yourself in alignment with this reborn spirit that you have inside of you. So we are being saved every day. We are becoming more like Jesus. So when you hear people say, we are becoming more like Jesus, it's not a churchism. You're like, you get lots of churchisms that have come out of really good word. This is like real. I actually need to become more like Jesus, because Jesus is inside of me and He's perfect and pure, and I'm on this journey to get to heaven, becoming perfect and pure. Will you ever be perfect and pure right in the end? No. Because Jesus has made you perfect. You don't need to be perfect and pure. You just got to be regenerating and not sinning and not have unrepentant sin in your life. You know, so, because remember, unrepentant sin, is that the one that's going to start separating you from God each time, you know? And you know, like you start going like a little bit of a tangent and you stop reading a word. And you're like, God is far away from me. That's unrepentant sin. And He says, well, you need to start regenerating, because that thing that you're doing actually is part of that thing that you're supposed to be doing. So you say, oh, God, I'm sorry, I forgive. And you come back into God's presence, and it's amazing again, and it's back like that first time you got saved. And then you start sinning again. This is, you see that other thing in your life. Oh, Lord, I'm so sorry. And you come back into God's presence. We separate ourselves from God. I didn't practice that walk at home, by the way, but I thought it was pretty effective, you know. If you guys missed it, this was God, and left was wrong, and right was wrong. Okay. And the final one, what about your body? We left the body out, eh? So the body is just a vessel while we're here. Okay. The Bible says we get a new body. I don't know what that looks like. I don't know if it's going to be a physical body. I doubt it. It's probably going to be like a spiritual body. Because we're going to heaven, and we're going to be in heaven one day. But in Philippians 3, verse 20 and 21, it says, we eagerly await our Savior. We're here on the earth, Jesus, come, or can I come to you? Okay. Who will transform our lowly bodies to be like his glorious body in time, you know? And you often hear like, oh, I'm just waiting for Jesus, you know? That's not a bad thing. We are going to go and live and coexist with God. One day, this body will probably leave behind. So, this is the reason why you felt like you did something really good when you put your hand up. The first time you felt that connection with God, this is the reason. You've made something alive inside of you. And the first time, everything felt right. Because for the first time, you were connected to your Savior. You were connected to God, your Creator, the person who created you. And you can't explain to others why it feels so good. This is why. This is what he's done for us.
Isn't it incredible? Just this morning, even now, I'm just sensing God here. And as Mike was sharing, we had an old friend who's with the Lord right now. His name is Uncle Will Murray. Some of us might have remembered him. And he used to use this line. And as Mike was sharing, this line is just keep on ringing in my head. And it says, he used to say, we are not essentially human beings having a temporary spiritual experience. We are essentially spiritual beings having a temporary human experience. And this is what Mike's talking about. This is salvation. That we are here on earth. Yes, we can see our bodies here. But what we do in this small little blimp of time, 80 years max, will determine eternity for the rest of our lives.